This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Week 2022, held at Faith Builders on August 2 through 5.
Well, good morning. Hasn't it been great? You know, we learn so much in a week like this. I wish we could just do a day and then come back next week and do another day and come back the following week, because there is just so much to learn and take in, isn't there? Four metaphors for teachers. We've said teachers are kings, teachers are investors, and today we're going to think about teachers are learners. I'd like to start with a little story, another parable. And after I'm finished telling you this story, I'd really invite some of your thoughts about what this story means. There was a beloved king many, many years ago that was given two young eagles. And he loved eagles. And that's why he was given the gift, because someone knew that this was special to him. The eagles were young. He took them to his court birdsman, the best. And he entrusted the young eagles into the birdman's care. And he said, I want you to teach them to be strong and to soar and to touch the heavens, because that is what eagles were born to do. And after a time, he went to see his birdsman and inquired about his eagles. And he was surprised to see how fast they had grown and how strong they had become. And he said to his birdsman, make them soar, make them fly. I want to see them touch the heavens. So the birdsman commanded the birds, and they flew, and they soared, and the one touched the heavens. And the other one, after flying for a little bit, came back and sat on a branch. And the king said, why is this eagle sitting on the branch? I want him to fly. I want him to soar. That's what he was created to do. And the birdsman said, rather shamedly, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I have tried. I've tried everything that I know. While the one eagle soars and flies, the other one comes back and always rests on that branch. And I don't know what to do. And the king went away, and he was sad and sorrowful that the one eagle was not soaring like he should, like he was created to do. And so he made a decree, because kings could, and offered a reward for anyone who would be able to teach the second eagle how to fly and soar. And after a time, the birdsman invited him to see how both eagles would soar. And the king was delighted, and he asked where the answer had come from, because he wanted to give his reward. Who would he give this reward to? And the birdsman brought forth a poor farmer and presented him to the king. And the poor farmer told the king that he too loved eagles and had a passion for them and loved to watch them soar and fly. And the king asked the poor farmer what he had done. How had he trained the second eagle after the court birdsman had failed? And the simple farmer said, well, I came and watched the birds for several days. And then I did a very daring thing. I cut off the branch that the eagle sat on. What does that story tell you? What do you learn from the parable? Sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zone, and sometimes we need, as teachers, need to get out, we need to help students get out of their comfort zone. Anything else? So he studied it. He just sat and watched and thought. Yeah, good point. Very good point. What about the poor farmer with his simple solution? I ask myself the question, do I ever not accept a solution because it's too simple? Do I sometimes not take advice because of who it comes from? Any other lessons you want to mention? Are there branches that our schools are sitting on? Are there branches that our students are sitting on? Are there branches that I'm sitting on when I was created to soar? I think this little story kind of ties together the three metaphors that we've talked about. Teachers are kings. Teachers are investors. And teachers are learners today. One of my heroes, the Apostle Paul, in Philippians 3, 12 to 15 says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, the failures, the successes, the victories. Forgetting all of those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Keep reaching forward. Keep reaching up. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now I wish I knew what he meant by that last phrase. But even if you are lacking one thing, even God can reveal that to you. How many types of learners are there, if we're talking about learners today? Somebody said one time about 7 billion. I like that answer. I'm going to submit to you 7 different types. Some people would say there are 3, others would say there are 5. Obviously, it needs to be an odd number. But here are some that we can think about today a little bit, you know, different types of learners. There are auditory learners. They hear and learn. Visual learners, if you are annoyed by the constant use of images up here, I'm sorry for you, but I happen to be a visual learner. If I can see it, I can understand it. I can't think unless I'm drawing or moving things on a paper. I simply can't. But then try to read my notes later. It's a mess. I just usually throw them away. Verbal learners, people that process by talking, and you might have some of those in your class. Logical learners that love to find patterns, and once they can see a pattern, it makes sense, and they've got it. Physical learners, they need to touch and feel. They may even need to move. This kind may drive you crazy. They're constantly clicking their pen or thumping their foot or moving their hands. They're moving around. I had one boy named Matthew in grade 4. He could not learn his math facts. We'd get them down by the end of the day. He knew them pretty well. Next morning, it was like when he slept, it just went ping, and they were gone. Do you know how we finally taught him his math facts? I put his skates on, we skated around the rink, and we learned them while we were skating together, and he was moving. It was like his mind would blank out whenever he was told to sit and learn. But he could learn while he was moving. It kind of tells you, too, what time of year it was till we got the math facts down. Social learners. You know, didn't COVID teach us so much about learning? Maybe you didn't do lockdowns, and thankfully, if you didn't have to, we had to do distance learning for 2 years in Canada, for parts of 2 years, I should say. And some students did better during lockdown. The teacher wasn't there in the way. And they just, some of their marks actually went up. They did very well. Others shocked me, frankly. I thought they would do okay, and they just tanked. They didn't. They needed that constant pressure of friends and, you know, the healthy competition that a classroom provides, the magic, what I call the magic of a classroom. And those solitary learners, boy, they'd be happy for a few more lockdowns. That was great. Yeah, just do it whenever I want, and, you know, teacher's not there to interrupt my thinking. This is something I would like to share with you. It's personal on my part. It's something that I do every year. Don't know if you've ever thought about the great advantage that we have as a teacher. Every year is a fresh start. Every year is a clean slate. Ever think about that? A banker doesn't really have that. He just kind of keeps going to work. Any other profession, they just kind of, you know, they have Christmas break, but every year you get to try again in a new way. And I would encourage you, if you had a bad year last year, learn what you can from it and then put it behind you and say, this year is going to be better. And this is something I started a few years ago, and I do every year. In the first days of school, I present this to my students, and you'll see there's a blank at the end of this list. And I would invite you, just like I invite my students, to give me suggestions, give me feedback. What else should be on the list? But as I think of the new year, the new school year, I dream of a classroom where Christ is honored above all. I dream of a classroom where we continue to discover who God is and worship Him as the creator of everything. You know, sometimes when we're doing math, I tell the students, I think math is where God is silent because He doesn't have to talk. He's just there in the patterns and things in math. It's just amazing. I dream of a classroom where God's Word is the active authority and its principles are applied to our daily routines. And if the teacher says one thing and the Word of God says another, the teacher's wrong and stands to be corrected. God's Word is the authority. I dream of a classroom where the golden rule is practiced and that we would do unto others as we would have others do unto us, and that includes the teacher. I dream of a classroom where we can learn together and esteem one another. I dream of a classroom where we can relax and be ourselves, truly be ourselves, and be okay with who we are, and appreciate who those other people are in our class, and realize that we all have strengths, and we all have weaknesses, and that we need each other to make it through. We need each other to learn. I dream of a classroom where we can learn and teach important lessons that will equip us for life. And as a teacher, it's my desire to create that atmosphere where we can learn life lessons right here in school. It's one of the reasons I teach grades 7 and 8. Because when I think back over my life, those were some of the worst years of my life, was in grades 7 and 8. And every year, I think if I can make those 2 years better for one, or two students in my class, then I've succeeded. If they can look back on their life and say, you know what, grade 7 and 8 weren't quite as bad. That age wasn't quite as bad because my teacher made a bit of a difference. Then I feel like I have lived. I dream of a classroom where we try to be as fair as possible, while my mother's words are ringing in my ears, reminding me that we need to remember that life is rarely fair. I dream of a classroom where we are free to make mistakes and learn from them. Because I think that's some of the best learning there is, when we make a mistake and can evaluate it and learn from it. We have a little rule in my class that when somebody makes a mistake, you may laugh if they laugh. But if they're not laughing, nobody's laughing. Because we will. I'll make mistakes on the board. I didn't see the board then afterwards when some of the language teachers used the red marker, but they probably should have. I dream of a classroom where we are motivated to do our best. And there's one for you. I'd love to hear back from you. Or is there something that you'd like to add to this list? And you're welcome to take this idea and use it too if you like. I'd like to share with you an idea that every person you meet has something to teach you. This is something that my dad taught us at a very young age. I grew up in a different culture. I grew up in a country where, frankly, I grew up sort of like a crown prince. I grew up in Guatemala, and I could get anything I wanted from the Guatemalans. My mom had a maid for most of the years growing up, and she would do anything for me that I wanted her to do, including tying my shoes, or carrying rocks I collected on a hike, or flowers or anything I picked up. All I had to do was pick it up, and she'd carry it. But my parents tried very, very hard to teach us to be humble and accept all of the people around us. And I remember my dad saying this many times, every person you meet has something to teach you. And if you're smart, you'll learn it. Every person. So I would like to do a little activity here this morning, and you probably have never been in a main session like this before, and hopefully you'll never have to sit through one of these again. But I'd like to make some groups here this morning. I'm going to need two volunteers. I think I already have one at the back with the mic. He's going to help in case I can't hear. He's going to simply repeat into the mic what you said so that we can all hear it. And if it's up here up front, I'll try to repeat it so that we can all hear it and keep going. Is JC here this morning? He was on my softball team. There you are, JC. Do you mind coming up here? Can you help me? You just come on up here and stand here, and you're going to tell which groups their turn, because I'm going to lose track. And I just want to go down through. We're learners here this morning. We're going to learn together. This section over here, we're going to divide you in half. And so I'm going to just have the back half stand so that you kind of know who you are. So from here back, would you stand? And this is the divided section here. Would you stand? Now, once you know which group you are, you can sit down anytime you like, but you can stay standing for a while. This half here is another group. Over there, beyond the divide, that's another group. So if you want to stand so that you know who your people are, you can kind of turn around and look at them. You're going to need each other. Now you see that life isn't fair. Some of the groups are bigger than others. And back from here back, why don't you stand? And you're another group. How many groups do we have here, JC?
So these front will also be groups.
Shall we divide them in half? We could divide right down the middle, couldn't we? And kind of make them a little fair. So right down here. Yeah, half and half. You can kind of just do the visible. Why don't we have this half stand so we know who those people are? There you go, okay. Stay standing. And what we're going to do is JC's going to help me here, and he's going to point to a group, and that's the group that gets first dibs. And then after they've given an answer, it's up for grabs. Any group can give an answer about this person. Jimmy Carter. And so which group is first?
Okay, I'm still a little confused at what we're
sorry. Yeah, I'm famous for that, not giving real clear instructions. So why don't we start over here with this group so they get first chance to give us a fact about this guy. And after they've gotten their chance, then anybody can give us more facts, because for every fact you give, you get a point for your group. Everybody in the group gets a point. And you can just keep those points there behind the name. Don't use up the little checkbox, because we're going to use that later. But then we would follow with that group. And then this is where your job gets complicated, and I'm going to lose track, because I'm never going to remember whose turn it is, right? But we're going to try to give them first dibs. Does that work? All right. So this group is first. Can you tell us anything about Jimmy Carter? Okay. Is he still alive? Yeah. Still teaching Sunday school. All right. I'm Canadian. Good, that's good for a point. Anybody else have anything about him that you want to tell us? The only U.S. president from Georgia. Okay.
Elected in 1976.
Look at him go. Elected in 1976. I didn't know that. He claims to be a born-again Christian. You're keeping track of your points, right? Everybody in this group gets 2 points off of that. He was a peanut farmer. And a Democrat. That's good for 2 more
peanut
points.
Peanut farmer goes back here. They said it first.
We had a peanut farmer back there.
Oh, you don't get the peanut farmer one
over here.
Over here.
No, over
not here.
Here. These guys get
erase
it.
Erase that point. It's back there. Thank you. As long as nobody says he didn't, that's good for a point. It's fantastic. Okay. Okay, well, go Jimmy. That's wonderful. He wrote a devotional called Sources of Strength. All right, good. Oh. You are absolutely right. He's a passionate volunteer for Habitat for Humanity and apparently was in my area in the last couple of years building a house for them. Yeah, good. Yes, sir.
He was considered ineffective because of the Iranian hostage crisis.
Do you know about that? Yeah, that's good for a point.
He's arguably the worst president in history. That's what I...
Give yourself a point. He may be the worst. Wow. Okay, anybody on Edward Rowland Sill? Yes. That's right. He wrote the poem Opportunity. He was a poet. Anybody else? Anything on Edward? Oh, I am so sorry. You are so right. I took it over here. See, you better come up here, I think, or something where they can see you better. This isn't working well. So now what do we do? I think we're going to get... Would have you gotten that? This is what they would have gotten that. This is what I do in my class when I don't know what to do. Okay, you guys get a point and you get a point. We'll give you both a point. That was my bad. I'm sorry. Oh, whose turn is it?
I'll get the next team. That second group.
That's good. I like the way you do that. Who's this guy? He writes horror stories. Yes, he does. I didn't hear it. Okay.
He's in a lawsuit right now against a publishing company.
I didn't get that.
He's in a lawsuit right now with publishing companies.
Okay. All right.
2,000 words every morning.
You're keeping track of your points, right? Because every one of those bits of information is good for a point for your whole team. Keep track of it.
He is from Maine.
Did you get it?
I did not hear that. He was in a really bad accident, was in the hospital for a long time.
How old was he? Okay. Here is something, teachers. Here is something that I find fascinating. When he was 11 years old, his friend was hit by the train and killed. And his family didn't know about it for several days and figured it out that that's why he's not talking and that's why he's not coming out of his room. And I wonder how much of an impact that had. You wrote Stephen King a letter?
Jeff Swanson wrote Stephen King a letter.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? Whose turn is it?
Right here.
Okay, John Adams.
Second President of the United States.
Okay, see, that almost should go for two, but yeah. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? Did you hear that? Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to get him the mic real quick? Because I can't repeat all of that.
So John Adams died on July 4, 50 years to the day of the signing of the Declaration. And Thomas Jefferson died the same day. And they were good friends back at the founding of the country and had a falling out because they fought over being the second president. And then after they were both president, they became friends again. And then for the last number of years of their lives. And then, yeah, then they died on the same day. So anyway.
That's good for 4 or 5 points, I'd say. Yes, sir.
He had a son named John Quincy Adams.
Yes. There you go. I don't know any better. Sure. He was the first vice president. Thank you very much. He and his wife were famous for the letters that the correspondent. Wow. Amazing. Was he Samuel Adams' cousin? They're saying he was. Is anybody going to say he wasn't? Okay, good for you.
Ambassador to France, along with Benjamin Franklin.
Wow. Wow. See, I did this in Canada one time, and we had about 2 or 3 points for him. That's how much the Sorry?
Town of Braintree.
Did I say you're not allowed to Google anything? You didn't? Can you tell us what that means? He was a Unitarian.
He did not believe in the Trinity.
Okay, just.
This
is making sense to me. Yes, yes. Thank you. All right, we're going to move on. Who's this? Oh, whose turn is it?
Is this in two or three groups on this path? It's that back half.
Does the back half want to just stand up so you remember who you are? Just real quick. All right, it's your turn. Who's this person? Or is Bill Clinton the husband of her? I think there's a difference. You're right. I didn't get it.
I didn't hear it.
Wrote a book, It Takes a Village.
Okay.
The
The first First Lady.
Former First Lady to have a cabinet position in a later.
To have a cabinet position. Okay, very good.
Lost the presidential election in
2016? It is the first woman to run for presidency? Okay. Okay. Good. I'm not sure who gets the point there because I think you're on different teams, but okay, you figure it out. Tell your team. When Bill was president, she was busier than he was. Fantastic. Well, I think that's a common thread for a lot of the men here. You don't tell me. Her daughter got stung by a bee at school. The daughter said to the teacher or whoever, call dad, call the president because mom's too busy. Fascinating. See how much we learn? I had no idea. Whose turn?
I have an interesting one. She really respects and looks up to Donald Trump's children. Not him, but his children. She said that.
Wow. So she really respects Donald Trump's children. She looks up to them. Not him, but to his kids. She also doesn't tell the truth. Is that what I heard you say?
Not every time.
Every time? Oh, thank you. I missed that. Whose turn is it?
We're going to start.
Who's this guy? Three. Two. I didn't get it.
Do you mean Steve Wozniak?
Probably. Are you saying there's a spelling mistake up here? Okay. Yeah. Yep, I think you're right. Who is that?
Co-founder of Apple.
Yes. Co-founder of Apple.
He's the one that actually did the engineering of the Apple II.
He did the engineering.
Yeah, he did the engineering.
All right, another point for your team.
He wrote a book called I Was. I-W-O-Z.
Oh, I-W-O-Z. Good. He didn't allow his own children to have a smartphone. I've heard that.
Was the founder of the San Jose Children's Science Museum.
Was the founder of the San Jose Children's Science Museum. I didn't get it.
I don't know what she said.
Can someone explain that, please?
Beachy. He was beachy.
He looks like it. I don't know. Is that true? He was happy but not a jerk. Okay, he had terrible hygiene. Apparently, I read. Yeah. Okay, we need to keep moving. Who's this guy? Oh, whose turn is it? Yes, present. Anything else?
Son of a former Prime Minister,
Pierre Trudeau. Yes.
He has a nice personality.
Okay, he has a nice personality.
He's 6 foot four.
6 foot four?
He's 6 foot four.
Okay, I did not know that either. 6 foot four. He does speak both French and English. Very good.
His parents divorced while he was a young boy.
Okay. His parents divorced when he was a young boy. Good.
He's part of the Liberal Party of
Canada. Yes.
He's part of the World Economic Forum.
He is part of the World Economic Forum.
Yes, that's true. And he's part of the Liberal Party. I don't know if I repeated that. He doesn't like suckers?
He doesn't like truckers.
Truckers. All right, whose turn is this? These old ears. When's your turn? I think it's next. Is that right?
Yeah.
So it's the front group here. Who's this guy? His wife's name is Clara. That's good. Founder of Northern Youth Programs, correct? He is a pilot. He lives in a cabin on Beaver Lake. If nobody says no, then we're good. All right, back there. His daughters got their pilot's license before their driver's license. Yes, that is true, at least. He is also a counselor.
He once crashed his plane and now has a crooked nose because of that. He has five girls. Brother named Dale.
Anybody know what the title of that book is that he wrote?
Flying Canada.
Flying Canada,
I'm
correct.
I'm not part of a group. I get my own point. Say that again. He eats frozen raw moose meat in the wintertime.
There you go. Now it's your turn back there. Are you getting those?
No.
I think you said he wrote Animal Farm, and then? In 1984, okay. 19, yes, thank you.
He was a socialist.
He was a socialist? His books are banned in some colleges. Do you know why? Okay, because they're not true? Oh, because they're too true. Okay.
We've got one. His real name is Eric Blair.
Yes, good. All right. Do you know that his real name is Eric Arthur Blair? You're correct, he's a novelist. Essayist, journalist, and critic. He fought in the Spanish Civil War and was shot in the neck by a sniper. Barely missed his main artery. During the Second World War, his house was destroyed, and he searched through the rubble and found his papers and carried out his copy of Animal Farm in a wheelbarrow. Fun stuff. Have we made it around? All right. I think for sake of time, we're gonna just have to skip our little game. You guys know too much. It's taken too long. This is fantastic. Anybody just wanna, if you call it out, give yourself a point, and we'll just go real quick here. I'm gonna need you back there yet because I may not hear the answer, all right? Who's this guy?
I missed that too. Used to be lead singer of Police.
He's a rock star, I think, from Britain. Who's this?
Author of the Harry Potter
series. First African American president. Good. I missed it up here.
From Hawaii.
From Hawaii? Claimed to have been born on August 4th. Okay. I didn't get it. His wife's name is Michelle. All right, you're giving yourselves points, right? You're keeping track of this. Very good. Who's this? Okay. She is from Canada. She dated Lance Armstrong. Okay. We learned so much. Yes, sir. Invented the telephone.
A friend of Helen
Keller's. Yes, he was a friend of Helen Keller's. They had another relationship as well. Very interested in the deaf community and taught deaf children. Yes, he did. His wife was deaf. I don't know if I would have remembered that. When he was inventing the telephone, he became so excited he spilled a chemical on himself. Okay, very good. And he developed the first... You're right.
Developing of the hearing aid led to the invention of the telephone.
Okay, very good. Famous poet? Wrote Mending the Wall. The Road Less Traveled. Okay, he lived in New Hampshire and lived about an hour and a half away from where these folks come from. All right.
Four Pulitzers? Four? Four Pulitzer Prizes?
He
spoke at Kennedy's inauguration.
Do you want to repeat that?
Quoted what?
He quoted his poem by memory. The sun blinded his eyes.
Quoted his poem by memory at that inauguration because the sun blinded his eyes and he couldn't read it.
Fascinating. She was blind and deaf? She was blind. Was she deaf? And deaf. Her teacher's name was Ann Sullivan?
First sentence she said is, I am not dumb now.
She had reactive attachment disorder.
She was an atheist.
She was an atheist?
Or agnostic.
Or agnostic? Something about in her room?
She was locked in her room because
she was locked in her room because she was uncontrollable as a child.
Wrote the story of my life.
She played the piano. I missed some back there.
There was something back here I didn't hear. She liked to travel. She did a traveling show with her teacher till she got too old, till the teacher got too old.
Okay, well, we're gonna have to call a halt to our little game. Just think about some of these. Who are these people? What do you know about them? What couldn't we learn? I mean, we could go on for a while here. It's just amazing. Maya Angelou, I know not too much about her. She was an human rights activist. She was a poet. She I forget what else I was going to say about her. She made this quote, and I think it's so true. When you learn, teach. When you get, give. Mr. Walt Whitman, Andy Griffith. And there, we're back to a few. I wanted to tell you some things about some of these people. I really wanted to skip over Sting and Sheryl Crow, but I couldn't. I had to include them. And I will tell you in a minute why I needed to include them. Would you go down that list now and look at the check boxes and just put a little check in the box if they were a school teacher? And maybe call out some of the checks that you're making. You know they were a school teacher. He was, yes.
Lyndon B. Johnson
was a school teacher. Yes, he was. Alexander Graham Bell. Yes, he was. He taught deaf children. You can check all the boxes. Every single one of those was a school teacher. Every single one. And that's what they have in common. Claire Schnupp taught at one of the infamous Canadian residential schools, and he was a good teacher. He was a principal there. Sting was a teacher, and he is still passionate about raising teachers' salaries because he says it's one of the most important professions and the most underpaid. Teachers should get paid more, and that's why I needed to include him. I needed to include Sheryl Crow because she was a teacher and she actually taught music at a high school level so that she would have her weekends free to play with the bands. How does that work? Not sure. And we learned about him. Oh, Robert Frost, I gotta tell you about him. He was a farmer and his students affectionately called him the hen man because he was deathly afraid of chickens. I don't know why. I would like to ask you, what type of learner are you? You might be able to answer that question by thinking, did you enjoy that last activity or did that just kind of drive you crazy? Because I'm sorry, for some of you, it just drove you crazy. You're just like, what a waste of time. Whatever, this is no general session. I came here to learn and I'm not learning, maybe. I don't know. Some of you, I think, really enjoyed it. We could have gone on for a while. I'd like to ask you the question in closing. What do you have that someone didn't give you? What do you know that someone didn't teach? You know, all of those people on the list were teachers. But you know what's more amazing to me than that? Is that they were all students first. Somebody taught them. Somebody kept Barack Obama in for recess. Ever think of that? Somebody took Lyndon B. Johnson over their knee and gave him what he needed. You think about that? I was reading something about William Shakespeare's dad, and I just kind of stopped for a minute, and I thought, yeah, you know, he had a dad. I'm sure he did. He had a father, and he did, because his father raised him and his brothers and sisters. And my imagination goes kind of crazy, but I thought to myself, you know, I can just kind of imagine William Shakespeare's father saying, okay, William, it's time to go to bed. Go to bed now. And be quiet, would you? Stop talking like that. You're confusing everybody. I'd like to close this morning with a poem that I'd like to dedicate to you. Teacher, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather you walk with me than merely point the way. The eye is a more ready pupil than ever was the ear. Good advice is often confusing, but example is always clear. God bless you.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.